But we live in an information world. I don't think there's any doubt from anybody that is here today. You can pick up your phone that has more computer power than they say that the NASA first moon landing was that had taken place. That your phone today has more power than and more computer power than what they had at that time. And within a couple of clicks, you can view world events all over the world. You can go to CNN, you can go to Fox News, CBN News, which is a Christian broadcasting network. You can go to CBS, NBC, ABC. We live in a world that loves information. But our love of God, our relationship that we have with God, is not based on how much information that He brings into our lives. Oh, we have the information of the Word of God. We have enough things that Word that shares with us that we need to come to the knowledge of the truth. But so many times we want more information. Well, if I had more information, I would act. If I had more information, I would have more peace. If I had more information, I wouldn't have so much fear and anxiety. But our relationship with our God is not based on volumes of information. It is based on our faith that we place in Him. It's easy to say the words, I believe that God is who He says that He is, and that God will do what He says that He will do. But when are we going to stop just saying the words, and we are going to start living the words? You've heard that saying, your talk talks and your walk walks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Saints of God, we need to stop just talking our faith, and we need to start walking our faith. So let me give you an example. Turn with me to 2 Timothy in chapter 1 this morning. 2 Timothy in chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you go to verse 7, it says these words. And these are words that you're probably very familiar with. It says this, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." We have talked before, people say the Bible says fear not 365 times. In other words, you can say a fear not for every day of the year. When in reality, the Bible only says those exact words about 70 to 100 times, depending on what version of the Bible that you're reading or the translation that you're reading. But when you take all the times that the Bible refers to walking in faith and not walking in fear, it would be over 365 times. But the church today deals with as much fear and anxiety just as much as the world does. Why is that? Because we are not walking in faith. It's very simple, isn't it? We need to get off the what if merry-go-round and start trusting the Lord. You know me, I've had a heart attack and I've had 5 bypasses and I had cancer and I had a kidney removed. And do you think that that is the utmost important thing in my life every day? Absolutely not. God said, build a church, we build a church. God said, start a school, we started a school. And every day I get up in the morning wondering what in the world I've gotten myself into, wondering what in the world I'm going to do, because I don't know. But I would rather burn out for the Lord Jesus Christ than rust out, and there's too many Christians that are rusting out for the Lord Jesus Christ. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 2 says that there is a time to be born, that there is a time to die. Well, I don't think my name's on the calendar today, so let's get about the Father's business. Here in 2 Timothy, verse 1, let's break this down in verse 7. Chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear is not from God. Anxiety is not from God. It is a spirit of bondage. But what is from God? He goes on to say, power. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. But what is that? The ability and the strength to live out one's calling in your life, overcoming all obstacles, you have the power to do that. He says, love, the motivation to act, which casts out all fear. He says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Love is the motivation to act, which casts out fear. What does it say in 1 John 4:18? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. In so many ways, we need to be more in love with Jesus than we ever have been before. And as you see this world deteriorating around you, you need to be more and more and more in love with Jesus. How do I do that? By spending more time with Him, with His Word, through prayer, through worship. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing how? Or how? By the Word of God. What are we doing right now building our faith? That's why you come to church today. You want your faith built up. You want to be lifted up. You want to be exhorted and encouraged in your walk that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be an exhorter to you. I want to lift you up. You today, as we were talking about in CE, are sitting underneath the teaching and the ministry of the sanctification of the Spirit, the sanctification of the Word, the cleansing, the separating. You're going to feel better when you go out those doors than when you came in today because of what the Lord is doing in your life right now. God said, build a church. God said, start a school. Do you think that He gave me or anyone all the details of how that was going to be carried out? Absolutely not. God is waiting to see what you're going to do with the information you have right now before He gives you any more information. Will you walk in faith with what I, the Lord, has given you? Otherwise, there's no sense in giving you more information. Look at Genesis chapter 12. Genesis, we go all the way back to the book of Genesis and the call of Abram, which would be changed to Abraham. Genesis 12, verse 1, it says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. What of you? What of I? Would you, if the Lord called you today and said, I want you to take your family and move to Colorado tomorrow, what would your response be? Well, Lord, I need more information. I need more information. I mean, I need more of the details. How is this all going to take place? How is this all going to happen? But Abram believed God, and he acted upon the information that he had at that point in time. Let me tell you, brother and sister, you have enough information in your life right now for what the Lord has given you to walk successfully in your relationship that you have with the Heavenly Father. If you will act on that information, then He will bless you with more information. We see this over and over in the Scripture. In verse 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions. And they gathered in the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. End of story, wasn't it? But no, it wasn't the end of the story. It was only beginning. But Abram acted upon the information that God had given him. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. If you go to chapter 4, you go to verse 18. Verse 18 says this, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. How much information did they have? Look at Matthew 9. Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew 9, we go to verse 9. In Matthew 9, verse 9, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow him. So he arose and he followed him. In all these examples, how much of the details were given out? And how many details do you know right now to live a successful life for the Lord Jesus Christ? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. This is what it says in verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And the whole church should be praising God at this point in time. Hallelujah! What has God done in your life? You that were dead in your trespasses and sins, he made alive. God is not in the business of making good people out of bad people. He's in the business of making live people out of dead people. Because they're dead in their sins and their trespasses. That's who you were, but you're no longer that person anymore. You're a child of the Most High God. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us even when we were dead, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You today are seated in Crossroads Gospel Church at Knoxville, but spiritually you are seated in heaven. Amazing what God has done in each and every one of our lives. I am saved. His Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. As it says in Romans 8, verse 14 through 17, I am spiritually seated in heaven with Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is a guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. You have the guarantee. You are sealed by the presence of the Holy Spirit. You have the guarantee of the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life that you are a child of God. What can this world do to you? Nothing. Fear and anxiety. You must be gone. I'm not going to walk in that anymore. The book of James tells us to take no thought for tomorrow. 2 weeks ago, I did a friend's funeral. Not a real world close friend, but a friend of mine that kept in touch with me over the years. He asked me years ago if I would do his funeral. And I said, well, of course. But you know, when you say that, you think it's 30 years down the road. Well, 30 years down the road was 2 weeks ago on the calendar date. Every one of us have a calendar date. I don't think that calendar date's today. Why are you worried about that calendar date tomorrow when you can do nothing about it? James says, take no thought for tomorrow. We worry and we stew and we have anxiety about things that we have no control over whatsoever, so stop doing it. Have your faith in God. This is crippling to the church, brother and sister. This is crippling to the church because so many people deal with anxiety. They deal with frustration. You heard me ask the kids that one time over there, what is the biggest problem that you deal with when it comes to the fruits of the Spirit? And it was fear. It is anxiety. Little bitty kids that are dealing with fear and anxiety, I didn't even know what anxiety was when I was their age. What have we done to our children? We as parents today that know the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to start walking in faith. I may die tomorrow, but so what? I'm going to heaven. My cancer may come back tomorrow. So what? I'm going to walk on the streets of glory. I've been sealed by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. What can this world do to me? Nothing. Paul said it was a gain to him to leave this world. If that spirit of fear is not from God, then you have the power and the authority in you as a saint of the Most High God to take authority over it. Because it is from the adversary. Now, I know Pastor Leo is not going to say these wonderful words today, and all your fear and all your anxiety, it's got to be gone. It's going to be gone because it won't. But you got to practice it. What did we say in the lesson this morning? In the lesson this morning when we were talking about in Philippians chapter 4, let's go there. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. I know the guys don't have it back there, but it don't matter. Let me read it to you. Philippians chapter 4. In verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Don't let things tear you apart. It's just Satan trying to discourage you and to beat you down. He says, don't be anxious for anything. And the word anxious in the Greek means to be torn apart on the inside. We may have a concern about something. That doesn't mean we need to become anxious about it. But in everything, give it in prayer. Give it over to the Lord. And he says, the peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And then what does he say? Meditate on these things. Focus on the things that are positive, the things that are lovely, the things that are praiseworthy. But look at verse 11. We talked about this in CE this morning because I think it should speak to all of us. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul said, it's possible. Don't ever think that you're outside the loving grace of God when it comes to dealing with anxiety. Like God's going to take care of it in everybody else's life, but he's not going to take care of it in your life, because that's a lie from the pits of hell, because he said that fear is not given to us. We need to walk in faith, walk in confidence. I'm a child of God. I've been seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. I have the guarantee of the presence of the Holy Spirit. There is nothing that this world can ever do against me. I could just go on forever. Not because I want to go on forever and keep you past your dinner hour, but I just hate to see people crippled by that. I hate to see people that are bothered by that. What's going to happen medically? What's going to happen in the job? What's going to happen with my children? What's going to happen here, 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 and here? Jesus says, you believe in God, believe also in me, because no one can pluck you out of his hand. No one. Will you stand with me today? Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we just bind that fear and that anxiety from people's lives. That we would just have a breath of fresh air from your Spirit. That would just be removed, that we don't have to struggle with it, we don't have to toil with it. That we just give it over to you and place it in your hands, because we, in most cases, we don't have any power over it anyway. All this information, we think, well, if I just knew this or if I just knew that, then everything would be okay. We have enough information to walk successfully in you, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless us and you would keep us. And I pray that you would open the windows of heaven upon this family, these families, and pour out your blessings into each and every one of them. We ask it today, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You are dismissed.